We're doing in Yaakov, the Gemara in Brachos, we're at the end of Daf Yud, and the Gemara is now going to tell us, Amar Rabbi Mani taught us, Gadol HaKorei Kriyat Shema Be'onata, one who reads Shema in its set time is greater than Yotel Mehaosek BaTorah, greater than one who delves in Torah. We know that dealing in Torah is considered the greatest mitzvah. We don't forgo dealing in Torah unless we have a mitzvah that we can't pass up. No one else is going to do it if we don't do it. So then we say, okay, what are you learning for? You gotta do what you learn. You're not learning something that's theoretical. But in general, we are taught that the greatest thing is learning Torah. Comes Rav Mani and teaches us, everything is great in its set time. Learning Torah is great in its proper time. And you know what? Reading Shema in its set time is even greater than dealing in Torah in that time. Because if right now I'm supposed to be reading Shema, then I'm not supposed to be learning Torah now. So reading Shema in its set time is even greater than dealing in Shema, and he's going to prove it from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, we're supposed to read Shema within the first 3 hours of the day. If we missed that, so the Mishnah says, it's not the end of the world. It's as though you're learning Torah, because reading Shema is learning Torah. So that seems to indicate that when you miss the set time, so then it's as though you're learning Torah. What happens if you get it during its set time? Then it's even greater than learning Torah. The second best, we're saying, if you miss the set time, okay, so at least it's like learning Torah. So that's the proof. Midiktani, from the fact that our Mishnah says, HaKoreh Mikan Ve'elach, whoever reads the Shema later than the first 3 hours, Lo Hafsid. He didn't lose totally. Kadam HaKoreh BaTorah. It's as though he's at least learning Torah. Michlal, from here I can derive, Dekoreh Bo'onata Adiv, that reading in its set time is better than learning Torah. When I miss the set time, it's not the end of the world. At least it's like learning Torah. And now we're up to Daf Yud Alef. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda quoted Rav. Avel chayav bekol mitzvot amurot b'Torah. A person in mourning is responsible to perform all mitzvot in the Torah, chutz min ha-tfilin, except for tefillin. Sharei ne'emar ben per, for tefillin are called our glory. Sh'ne'emar, as the verse says, percha chavosh alecha. The prophet Yechezkel was told that God is going to take from him the beloved apple of his eye. The beloved, hineni noten mimcha et machmad einecha, the beloved thing of his eye. What's that? Our sages say it's his wife. That's what the Navi says later on. God says, your wife is going to pass away. And then God tells Yechezkel, and do not perform any act of mourning for her. Don't do this act of mourning, don't do that act of mourning. Then there are one or two things God tells him, do mourn. And this is going to be a sign for the people of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. No one's going to be around to mourn it. So from these verses where God tells Yechezkel, don't do this and don't do that, don't do the other thing, we derive that these are things that a person in mourning ordinarily does do. So God tells Yechezkel, Pe'ercha chavosh alecha. Even though your wife's going to pass away, God tells Yechezkel, leave your tefillin on, leave your glory on. So we derive from that the average person, when he loses a relative, the first day, removes his tefillin. We do not wear tefillin the first day when one lost a relative. So we derive it by inverse relation to Yechezkel. Tanor Rabbanan, we have a Tanai quote. Bet Hillel Omrim. Beis Hillel say when one has to read Shema, one may read it in any position. If you happen to be standing in prayer at that time, stand. If you happen to be sitting, you can remain sitting. Omdin Vikoin, you could remain standing and read. Yoshvin Vikoin, you could remain sitting and read. Matin Vikoin, you could be leaning and read. Holchim Baderech Vikoin, if you're traveling, you could read. Oskin Bimlachtan Vikoin, if you're in the middle of doing work. So the later parshios could be read even when you're doing work. We only pause our work and for the first parsha. Umaseb Rabbi Shmev Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And it once happened that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shayum subim b'makom echad. They were staying at a set place. Haya Rabbi Shmuel mute. Rabbi Shmuel was leaning. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah zakuf. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was standing upright. Shegi azman kriyat Shmuel, when came time for Shema, so he taught Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar wanted to fulfill the opinion of Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai say, at night time it says, read Shema b'shoch b'cha, when you're lying down. So we ruled that doesn't mean you have to lie down to read Shema. All it means is read it at the time that people go lie down, at night. Bet Shammai held, no, at night time you want to read Shema, lie down and read Shema. The pasuk is indicating even the position the person has to adopt when reading Shema. So Rabbi Elazar saw Rabbi Shmuel leaning, and Rabbi Elazar said, oh, nighttime Shema, okay, I'm going to lean too. So he leaned to read Shema. Rabbi Shmuel saw that Rabbi Elazar leaned, zakap Rabbi Shmuel, he stood straight up. So now Rabbi Elazar says, wait a second. Amale Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Rabbi Ishmael. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to Rabbi Ishmael, Ishmael achi, brother Ishmael, I'll tell you what this is like, this situation. A person walks in and they tell him, boy, Herzl, you got a gorgeous beard. They tell the guy, you have a beautiful beard. Amalehim, so he answers them, yeah, can I get the mashkitim? Oh, you like it? I'm going to shave it off. Kach, afkach, same thing happened here. Ata, kol zman shani zakuf, ata muteh. All the time I was standing, you were leaning. Fine. Achshav shani teti, the second I lean to go like you, to reach Shema like you, ata zakafta, you stood up. Amalo, Sir Yishmael answered, or Lesben Azariah, ani asiti kidivrei betilel. I did like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel say you could read in any position, leaning or standing, so you could do it any way you want. So I was doing like Beis Hillel. That's how I see the Divrei Beit Shammai. And you did like Beis Shammai. You were standing, you could have remained standing according to Beis Hillel. You didn't. You leaned. That indicates that you're not going with Beis Hillel. I was leaning initially, so Beis Hillel say you could remain leaning. No one says you have to stand. So I would have remained leaning, but the second you leaned, so I saw you're going like Beis Shammai. So I said, okay, I'll go like Beis Hillel. I stood. And not only that, I was scared. If the students see that you're going to lean like Beis Shammai, then the students will say, oh, Rabbi Elazar Azariah is ruling like Beis Shammai. And I'll remain leaning. They'll think I agree with you. Well, I don't agree with you. So I had to indicate to the students, no, don't do like him. So I stood up to ensure that they don't rule like you. Now, with this concept of leaning, this is a machlokas. How do we rule halachically? And this is a machlokas by the Ashkenazim, it's a machlokas Rishonim, it's a machlokas also in halacha. Can one lechatzila at night reach Shema when he's leaning? It isn't the most respectable fashion of reading. So there's a Gemara later on that discusses one of the Amoraim who was very obese. And when came time to reach Shema, so he'd lean. So the Gemara says, you're not supposed to read leaning. So the Gemara says, yeah, he was heavy, it was difficult for him to stand, and he leaned full leaning. So we see there's two types of leaning. There's lying completely on your back and turning a little bit to your side, and then there's completely turning to your side. And the question is, how does this work? Let's say I, for whatever reason, I didn't reach Shema till I'm lying in bed. Can I remain? Let's take a different example. In the morning, I want to reach Shema. I get up late. I see I have 10 minutes. It's 9 o'clock. We know that about 9:10 nowadays is off some Zman Kriya Shema. 9:13, okay. So I see it's 9:08. I want to reach Shema. I quickly wash my hands. I say Berach Satorah. And I think to myself, I'll say Shema. I won't make it to say Shema the way I should with Tillin. I won't make it to say Shema the way I should directly before Shmon Esrei. So I could use another 20-minute snooze. So maybe I'll stay in bed. I'll reach Shema. And then I'll go back to sleep. Put the alarm clock for 20 more minutes. Ask a friend to ensure I get up. And I'll dominate a later minute. Can I do that? Can I reach Shema leaning? So I'll say, okay, I won't lie on my back. Lying on my back, the Gemara says, is clearly prohibited. That's a way of fright. Here I am saying, God, you're master of the world. You're in charge of everything. And I'm doing it with my feet kicked up. I'm lying back. Our sages say, that doesn't work. That's disrespectful. If you want to say God is master of the world, at least turn to your side. And the question is, when our sages said, at least turn to your side, did they mean, and then you could say, lechatchila Shema? Or did they mean, worst case scenario, like that Amoro who was very, very overweight and it was very difficult for him to get up, if it's a situation where, let's say, you're going to have to scramble and get your clothing and it's going to be very, very difficult for you to get up, you're wiped and you're lying in bed, so then you could go with this leniency to lean completely on your side and say Shema. Or do we say that lechatchila, every person could reach Shema on their side? And this is a machlokas mechaber amo. And as is often the case, the mechaber, if I remember correctly, the Shulchan Aruch is more lenient, says lechatchila, you could lean on your side and reach Shema. So Sfaradim can go with that. And the Rama says, no, this is only b'di'evad. If you have a situation, if you have a situation where you have a reason that's like that Amoro, it was difficult for him to get up, so then at least lean completely on your side. So that's a machlokas. So here we read that Beis Hillel say you can read Shema. From the aspect of Shema, it doesn't matter what position you're in, but from the aspect of honoring the Shema, so there we have this machlokas how it works. In general, for the first pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem Kvod Mechusel Olam Void, we have to stand still. After that, we could continue doing what we have to do, and after the first parsha, we could continue walking. But the first parsha requires more kavana than the rest of the parshios, and the first pasuk requires the most kavana. The first pasuk and Baruch Shem Kvod Mechusel Olam Void, if we didn't have kavana, then we weren't Yotzei Ruh. There we have to really focus and understand what we mean. Yeah, sorry. You want to say something?
If I'm doing lying on the bed, the Shema.
So the Shema that we say at night is a different Shema. Because we're already Yotze Shema and Shuv. We say Shema and Arvit. So assuming you said Shema at a proper time, meaning if you went to Minyan that prayed Arvit too early, so then you might not have been Yotze Shema. So then you have to apply all these halachot. But if you were already Yotze Shema, you fulfilled your obligation of saying Shema because you prayed at a regular Minyan for Arvit. So then we say that the Shema that you say on bed is just to protect us at night. Our sages say, you say Shema, God says, I'll give you extra protection. So that's a different Shema. So that you could say even lying down. Not only that, now we say you should repeat Shema in bed. Say all three parashios again and again after you finish the parts of, after you finish everything you're supposed to say in bed. Until you fall asleep, you should fall asleep out of saying Shema. So for sure you're supposed to say Shema lying down. But that's a different Shema. Let's just end the day with Torah, so Hashem protects us.
What Shema address in Hamapil?
If you fall asleep right after Hamapil, very good. That's the best. Mayim Mevarech. So we said in the Mishnah that we make blessings surrounding Shema. What blessings do you make? And whenever we encounter such questions in the Gemara, we have to ask ourselves, what's the Gemara asking me? Meaning, didn't they know? So that deserves a separate discussion. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Hoshaya. Rav Yaakov quoted Rav Hoshaya that we make a blessing in the morning, and our blessing begins, blessed are you Hashem, Yotzer Or, who fashions light, Uvorech Choshech, and created darkness. So the Gemara doesn't like that we're mentioning darkness in our prayer. So the Gemara is working in a certain direction, because the Gemara is going to point out that the complete verse in Isaiah says, God is Yotzer Or, Uvorech Choshech, fashions light, creates darkness. Oseh Shalom, He makes peace, Uvorech Ra, and creates bad. We don't say Oseh Shalom, Uvorech Ra. We switch it around. We don't want to say in our prayer, God creates bad. So we say, Uvorech Hakol, God creates everything. Meaning we're encompassing even the bad. So the Gemara, working off of that knowledge, is asking, so then why didn't we change this word when we say God creates darkness? Lema Yotzer Or Uvorech Noga. We should have said, God creates light, God fashions light, and He creates Noga. Whatever, we'll say Noga is light. So what are you going to tell me? No, we want to maintain the same language that the verse used. If that's so, then the verse continues and says, God makes peace and creates bad. Do we really say the way the verse says? But rather the verse says, God creates bad, and we read in our blessing, God does makes peace and creates everything. So we're alluding to the fact that everything includes even what's bad. But lishna me'alia, what are we doing? We're using a nicer term. Hachanami lema noga lishna me'alia. So we should also use the word noga, which is a nicer term. Ela, but rather, amarava kedei lazkir midat yom belaila umidat laila beyom. The idea is, our sages wanted us to make mention at night that God is also the one that creates the day, and make mention by day, that God is also the one who creates the night. Now, the importance of this, we have to understand in context. Who is the Navi Yeshaya talking to? The Navi Yeshaya is talking to the Jewish people who are going to exile in the time of the destruction of the first temple. When we went to exile, we were exiled by the Babylonian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire was overtaken by the Persian Empire. Now, the Persian Empire, their religion was Zoroastrianism. They believed that it cannot be... Okay, it cannot be, thank you, it cannot be that the same force that gives good also gives bad. If God is good, then He should only make a good world. If God is bad, He should only make a bad world. They said, cannot be that the same source gives good and bad. So they believe that there are two forces in the world. A force of light and a force of darkness. A force that is only good, only gives, and a force that's only bad, only takes. The light side? It makes sense.
Human.
No one's saying it doesn't make sense.
It's human.
The Navi is speaking to these people. He's saying, he's speaking to the Jewish people who are being exposed to this philosophy, and he's saying, no, you should know, God, He creates. Yotzeror, He creates light, Uvorech Choshech, He creates darkness. Oseh Shalom, He makes peace, Uvorech Ra, He creates what's bad. God is the source of it all. You don't understand it, you have problems, yeah, but He does it all. And it makes a lot of sense that we make mention of this where? In the blessing that precedes Shema. What are we going to say in Shema? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is singular. So our sages instituted that directly prior to that, we make mention of this verse. So our sages wanted us to make mention by day, before we say Shema, that God also creates the night. And by night when we say Shema, we also make mention that God creates the day. So the Gemara says, Bishtam amidat laila beyom kidam rinan. I understand that we make mention of night by day, like we just explained. We say in the morning blessing, Yotzer Oru V'Roeh Choshech. God fashions light, He creates darkness. So I'm mentioning the darkness in the morning. Ela midat yom b'layla echi mishkach adla. But where do we find that we make mention of the day in our blessings of night? Amar Abaye, Abaye told us, because we say in the evening blessing, Golel Or mipnei Choshech v'Choshech mipnei Or. God rolls the day away to give way for darkness, and God rolls the darkness away to give way for light. So we make mention of both aspects by night as well. And I never understood this question of the Gemara. What was the Gemara asking? Look at the prayer and see the answer. So whenever we encounter Gemaras like this, we have to question exactly when were these blessings instituted. The first assumption is all blessings were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And it seems heretical to say otherwise, because you'll find that many Rishonim write, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they instituted all the blessings. But if you take a close look at the Gemara, you see that certain things are instituted later. We find that Rav, the Amora, first generation after Rebbe, he instituted the prayer of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. We find there are different versions of different blessings. The Gemara has different versions of Birch Satorah. We say Birch Satorah is biblical, yet the Gemara has discussion. Is it this way? Is it that way? So it seems that this needs more research. And these types of Gemara also seem to work with that idea that it seems like the brachos evolved. Sages gave us a rule. Kolam shenemi matbeshe tavu chachamim eino latoeh. Whoever changes from the form that our sages instituted is nothing but an error. You don't change what our sages instituted. But when did they institute? Was it all in the time of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? It doesn't seem that way. We have 5 more minutes. We'll do one more paragraph. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Hishkim lishnot ad shelo kara kriyat shma. If one awoke early and he wants to learn and he has not yet said Shma, tzarich levarech, then he must make a blessing on his learning. Our sages told us that the angels, the sages, everyone wanted to know why was the temple destroyed. And they couldn't figure it out until God Himself revealed the reason the temple was destroyed was because they did not make a blessing prior to learning Torah. The blessing, for some reason Hashem said no, this outweighs all of those. So that needs discussion. Maybe we'll get to it next time. Why does this outweigh all of those? But our Gemara is going to teach us the laws of making a blessing on learning Torah. And the Gemara is going to discuss the different types of learning and which one requires the blessing of learning Torah. It seems that the Gemara is working off of the blessings of Shema, as we were discussing until now, and the blessing of Ava Rabba, the blessing directly preceding Shema, and that blessing we say, Hashem, you tain bilibenu, given our hearts, lilmod, to learn, ulamed, and to teach, lishmor, to keep, lasot, and to perform, ulkayem, and to really enact, et kol divrei talmud torotecha, all the words of your learning of Torah, v'tlamdem chukei otzonecha. So we ask Hashem to teach us the Torah and help us perform the Torah, and that blessing. In essence, that's a form of Birchas HaTorah. So it seems that the Gemara is working off of the assumption Birchas HaTorah you make when you say Ava Rabba. Now, let's say you want to learn before you say Ava Rabba. So then we have another solution for you. We have another blessing. But that seems to be the second choice. Seems like you wake up, you pray. You pray, you say this blessing. You said this blessing, you said Birchas HaTorah. We need to recognize that Birchas HaTorah are really two very different blessings. The first blessing that we make on Torah that we're going to see in this Gemara is a blessing Asher Kiddushonu b'mitzvosa v'tzivonu la'asok v'divrei Torah. It's like a blessing on a mitzvah. We make a blessing before we do lolov. Asher Kiddushonu b'mitzvosa v'tzivonu al netilas lolov. It's a blessing. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me this mitzvah. We make a blessing before we put on tzitzis. We make a blessing on the tefillin. There are blessings on performance of mitzvos. So that blessing seems to be like a blessing on the performance of mitzvos. Then we say v'harevno, which seems to be a request. Hashem, please make the Torah sweet in our mouths and make it pleasant for us and our children and our grandchildren. It should remain with all of us. And then the third blessing seems to be a blessing of complete praise. Blessed are you, Hashem, you chose us, you gave us your Torah. Blessed are you, Hashem, you gave us the Torah. Okay, that's praise. It's three totally different blessings. And yet we refer to all of them as though they're Birchas HaTorah. And we seem to say that the concept of Birchas HaTorah is really fulfilled with the blessing of Av Rabba, in which what do we say? We say, give us in our hearts the ability to learn and perform the mitzvos. Learn the Torah and perform the mitzvos. Where do we say that in any one of the three? Maybe in Vaharevna. What do we say in Vaharevna? Please make it sweet. Vaharevna Hashem Kim Nestevet Oshav Finu Fiam Chav Yisrael V'ni Anachnu Tzetzem Tzetzem Chav Yisrael Kulam Yodei Shemechem. We all know your name and learn your Torah. Blessed are you Hashem who teaches Torah to His nation Israel. So that one is the closest one to Avarabba. So let's see now this Gemara, with that in mind, that there are really three distinct blessings, even though the first two might be one, right? We treat them as one. But the Rambam, the Rif, they seem to say it's three. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel. Hishkim nishnodat shelo kara kriyat Shema. If one awoke early to review his Mishnayot before he read Shema, tzarich lebarech, then he must make the blessing on learning Torah. Mi shekara kriyat Shema, but once he's read Shema, eno tzarich lebarech, then he doesn't have to make the blessing on learning Torah. Shekva niftal ba'avar Rabba. He's already fulfilled his obligations with the blessing of Avar Rabba. Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra tzarich levarech. You know what Rav Huna says? If you want to learn Torah before reading Shema, you have to make the blessing on Torah. Ule midrash, but if you're going to learn Medrash, so that you don't have to make a blessing. En tzarich levarech. Rabbi Elazar amar, so Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, Lemikra ule midrash tzarich levarech. For Torah, for Medrash, there you do have to make a blessing. But Lemishnah, for Mishnah, there you don't have to make a blessing. En tzarich levarech. Rabbi Yochanan amar, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Afni Mishnah nami tzarich levarech. For Mishnah 2, one must make a blessing of learning Torah, but Talmud then tzarich levarech. But for Talmud, one does not have to make the blessing of learning Torah. V'Rava amar af leTalmud tzarich levarech. Rava said, even for learning Talmud, you have to make the blessing of learning Torah, and that's how we rule halachically. That any Torah you want to learn, when you wake up in the morning, you have to make the blessing of learning Torah prior to learning that Torah. D'amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Chiya Barashi told us, Zim nintzagin havakim nakamid Rav, many times I was before Rav, litnui pirkin v'sifra d'be Rav, to learn the Medrash Sifra d'be Rav, Torah Kohanim, havemakdim, he'd get up early, v'kamashi yadei, he'd wash his hands, negel vaser, uvarich, he'd make the blessing, umad milan, and then he'd teach us pirkin, he'd teach us our learning in the Medrash Sifra d'be Rav. My mevarech, what blessing do you make on learning Torah? Amar Yudah Amar Shmuel, Rav Yudah says in the name of Shmuel, Shekel Shamim Tzatzvan Lasok Dibrei Torah, who commanded us with his mitzvos, he commanded us, he gave us holiness with his mitzvos, and he commanded us to delve in the words of Torah, to do business in the words of Torah. Rav Yochanan Misayim Bahachi, Rav Yochanan used to conclude the blessings as follows, Ha'arev Nashem Lokenu Tavet Otcha Befinu Fifiyot Amcha Beit Yisrael, make the words of Torah sweet in our mouths and the mouths of your nation and the house of Israel, Ni'anachum Tzetzen Tzetzen Amcha Beit Yisrael, and may we be and our offsprings and the offsprings of all of your nation and the house of Israel, we should all be, Kulanu, all of us, Yodei Shemecha, we should know your name, Voskei Torotecha, and delve in your Torah. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, amlamed Torah la'amo Yisrael, who teaches Torah to his nation Israel. Rav Amnuna amar, Rav Amnuna said, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, blessed are you Hashem, who chose us from all the nations, v'natan lanu et Torah, and gave us his Torah. Baruch atah Hashem, noten ha'Torah, blessed are you Hashem, who gives the Torah. And Bezrat Hashem, next week, we'll have to delve a little more deeply into what these blessings really mean. As you know, halachically, we rule that ideally every morning we say all three. But Bezrat Hashem, next week, we'll have to take time to go back and understand what are we saying in these blessings. But that will have to be for next week.